I'd like to call to order the regularly scheduled meeting in the Madison Plains Board of Education. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Here.
Mr. Gary?
Here.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Here.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Here.
Mr. Mead?
Here.
Mr. Eisler and I are also here.
Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
And Mr. President and members of the board, Ms. Kinsley Bolin will lead us in the pledge this evening.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Move to Section B, Approval of Meeting Agenda.
Mr. President, I make the motion that the meeting agenda for the regular meeting of the Madison Plains Local School District Board of Education for Tuesday, February 18th, 2025 be approved as presented.
Discussion, roll call, please.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Yes.
Mr. Mead?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Move to Section C, Student Recognition.
Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate it and would like to thank Kinsley for leading us in the pledge. Well done. The very first piece of student achievement that I would like to, or the first part of the business of student achievement that I would like to conduct this evening is to recognize our February Rotary Student of the Month, Addison Hawkins. So Addison, if you wouldn't mind, you're welcome to go over and stand by the podium. So we are pleased to honor senior student Addison Hawkins as a Student of the Month from Madison Plains High School for the month of February. Students are selected by the MPHS administration based upon the following criteria: academic and extracurricular achievement and positive character. Addison has a 4.085 grade point average and she is currently ranked fourth in her class. Her favorite course is AP Calculus. Props to you for that. I was an English teacher. Math is not my strong suit, so well done. While in high school, Addison has been on the volleyball team for 4 years and on the track and field team for 2 years. She has also been on the MPHS girls powerlifting team for 2 years, helping to earn 2 team state championships during that time. Additionally, Addison has been in FFA for 4 years, earning her Green Hand Award and a chapter degree. She has been a volunteer for 3 years for Sufficient Grace, a program that helps to provide food for those in need, and she has also served on student council for 3 years, this year serving as secretary. Finally, Addison has been a 3-year member of the MPHS chapter of National Honor Society, this year serving as its president. When asked which Madison Plains staff member inspires her, Addison picked Madison Plains social studies teacher, Mr. Jason Hunt. Regarding Mr. Hunt, Addison said, "Mr. Hunt has taught me my most challenging classes, preparing me for college. He pushes me to go out of my comfort zone in life and to be my own person." Regarding Addison, Mr. Hunt said, "Addison Hawkins is one of the most exceptional students I have had the pleasure of knowing and teaching. She is an excellent student who is blessed with a high amount of ability. Additionally, she is a student who works hard to be her best in everything that she does, whether in the classroom or on the athletic fields. Beyond her academic abilities, Addison is simply a wonderful human. She is empathetic toward others, she is a wonderful teammate, and I truly believe her to be one of the most intentionally kind people I have been around. It has been such a pleasure getting to know Addison the last 3 years. Madison Plains is a better place because of her." After graduation, Addison plans to attend a university to study nursing and get her master's degree in anesthesia to be a CRNA. Addison is the daughter of Marcy and Billy Hawkins. And so Addison, just want to give a shout out to you and say kudos on building such an amazing record here during your 4 years at Madison Plains High School. We are proud of you. Well done. Keep up the great work, and we look forward to seeing what you accomplish in the future. I do have a certificate here. I'll bring that over for you, but well done.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mr. President, members of the board, the other piece of student recognition that I would like to conduct tonight in terms of business for this part of the meeting, I would like to recognize our girls' eighth grade basketball team. I have learned that this year, or this season, they are OHC tournament champions. That's a big deal, so just want to give a shout out to all of them. We have certificates here for them also, and then I want to give a shout out to Coach Wallace also for leading them. So well done. So when I call your name, and I don't know, does anyone want to speak about the rest of the season? I know that you know, you guys are tournament champs. Beyond that, if there are things that we would like to say.
Sure. Any of you guys have anything to say?
First off, like
Coach Wallace, can I ask you to use the mic so we get it on recorded?
Thank you. First off, I'd like to thank the board for this recognition of our team. I've kind of made this part of our schedule now. We've done this three of the four times that I've been coaching here. I look forward to it every year and very appreciative of it. This season, we had some additions to our team from last year. Last year's team, we only had five girls. We were lucky enough to add a few this year. That definitely helped coming down the stretch. Just want to really highlight what this group has done. They ended with their middle school career. They were 29-4, which is pretty solid record for 2 years. But one interesting stat that I pulled, we actually outscored our opponents in those 2 years, 1,204 points to 561.
Nice.
Put that in comparison for our seventh grade year, we had 591 points. So in 1 year, we outscored our opponents over 2 years.
Wow.
Very impressive. So outside of that, we had four players this year with over 40 steals, five players with over 30 rebounds, three players with over 20 assists, and shot 39% from the field. Typically anything above 25% in middle school is pretty solid. it's an incredible effort by this team, and just being able to come together as a complete team this year and, of course, last year. As I close this four-year career of middle school coaching at Madison Plains, again, I've been very appreciative of it. It's been a great experience. I want to recognize the career of the two teams that I've had the opportunity to coach. This hasn't just been, luckily, this group. Luckily, we had some success the first 2 years as well. The team before appeared in two OHC championships, winning one. Their combined record was 29-5, bringing this group and the now sophomore group, which is making an impact on varsity level. If you can put those two together, they're 58-9. Lastly, I'd like to thank the girls for their patience and understanding of my coaching philosophy, putting up with the bad jokes, all that fun stuff. And just really would like to thank the board again for recognizing these girls and all of our accomplishments.
Thank you, Coach. And congratulations to you as well. So with that, I would like to call members of the team up and hand out some certificates. Kinsley Bolin. Well done. Nice job. Camden Bullock.
Congratulations, Camden. Well done.
Natasha Group. Lila Henry.
Congratulations, Lila. Well done.
Mason. Addison Mead.
Congratulations. Well done.
Zoe Robinson. Leah Straub.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well done.
And Coach Wallace.
Congratulations, Coach.
Thank you.
Well done. Thank you for everything you've done for us.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good job.
Thanks.
Mr. Isler, I usually would wait to excuse the students until after the employee, but I know somebody had to get the volleyball practice tonight, club volleyball, so if we could excuse them now.
Sure.
Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Good job, girls.
Go Eagles. All right, now we'll move to Section D, Employee Recognition.
And the employee that I would like to recognize this evening is Ms. Sherry Allen.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And so Ms. Allen is our food service director, and she has recently come through the triennial review, I guess, from the every 5 years.
It's actually been 7 because of COVID. So.
Okay. It seems so much sooner than that.
It does. It sure does.
But at any rate, so forgive me, our 5-year review from the Ohio Department of Education, and Sherry is going to be giving a report on that here in just a few minutes and updating the board. But she has some wonderful news to share, and I'll let her share that. But Sherry does a heck of a job for us in the kitchen, really does a nice job of building camaraderie and teamwork, looking out for her staff, and working to keep us in the black in terms of the department budget, and just really appreciate everything she does. She's worked hard to try to provide some new food options for the students. She does these taste testings where the kids are able to taste test some items and give a little bit of feedback. And it's just, she's done a heck of a job, and certainly just appreciate that. I do eat in the cafeteria from time to time and enjoy the lunches. I'm pleased to say that I eat healthy there, maybe a little healthier than I do when I go out for dinner or something like that, or out to lunch, but certainly appreciate everything Sherry does for our cafeteria. And so this month's employee recognition is Ms. Sherry Allen. So well done.
Yep. Sherry, you're welcome to stay, but you're also welcome to go.
My bad.
So we'll do the first public communication session. I believe anyone signed up. I know Mr. Procise was scheduled to speak. I think he just stepped out for a moment. If he comes back, we'll get him back in.
Sure.
All right. So we go to Section G, Board Work Session. We had our meeting last week where we talked about the options moving forward, and one thing we asked is just a kind of a temporary update on where we're at as far as the information, with hopefully more information for the March meeting. I don't know if you want to do it later, if you want to touch on kind of what you have.
I'm happy to do it right now. I have a few notes I was going to talk about during my superintendent's report.
That's fine. You can do it then.
Okay.
Yeah. I just want to make sure we get it in there.
Yes, absolutely.
So unless we have anything else, we'll move to approval of board minutes, section H.
Mr. President, I make the motion that the minutes of the organizational and regular meetings on January 14th, 2025, as well as the special meetings on January 21st and February 12th, to be approved as written.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Mr. Stonecrop?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mead?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
So we'll go back to section F, presentation to board by community member. Mr. Process.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, board. Thanks, Mr. Eisler, for helping coordinate this. My name is Jeff Process. I'm here representing an organization called Wings of Hope Madison County. That's the release time program I hope you all have heard about. I just want to give you a quick update. I think I've been here twice and spoken about it, but I want to give you an update on how it's going this year. So we started out in April with two students doing a pilot program. That was really to help us kind of build our processes, get volunteers in place. For us, that was a success. So we started it again in October of this school year. We had 8 students sign up. We have 2 sessions, so we have the junior high at 11, and then we have the high schoolers around 12 o'clock. So we have 2 different sessions. We transport the students from here to a church in Sedalia, have the Bible study there, and then bring them back. We provide them lunch, and the program's really grown. So we now have 45 students that have signed up. We average 25 or more each Friday combined with the junior high and the high school. Our volunteers have grown as well. We have we started out with 10. We have about 25 volunteers now. It takes about 12 to run a session on Friday. We have 3 teachers, including our lead pastor at the church, that rotate in and out of teaching the students. The students get a lunch each Friday. Usually it's homemade. Sometimes it's something that we bring in. But the program itself has done really well. I've been surprised. A lot of the growth has been through the students, just word of mouth, talking about, you know, hey, this is something you ought to try. And we see that each week, new students coming in. But there's been a lot of just growth in the students, but then also in our volunteers and also our funding, right? We have more volunteers, we have more funding than we could have ever imagined or hoped for. And the student growth has been way more than what we anticipated. So again, we do this with the junior high and the high school. We work with Mr. Eisler. Like I said, we do the transportation, we do the volunteers, and then we fund everything ourselves. Recently, House Bill 8 passed in the state of Ohio. It impacts us a little bit. So all of our volunteers have background checks done by one of the facilities that is part of our affiliation. So we're affiliated with school ministries and locally with School Ministries Ohio. They have their own background check organization called Protect My Ministries. What House Bill 8 did, though, was change that to where the schools now have the authority to say, here's how you'll do the background checks. That starts April, so we've worked with Mr. Eisler. We're going to put our volunteers starting next year through the same background checks that the staff and teachers go through here. So we'll do FBI, BCI checks, and then also reference checks. So we continue to grow. The program, like I said, we've seen a lot of progress. We do nothing but strict scripture study. No, it's non-denominational, again, it's funded privately, it's held off-site, all volunteer. So that's the purpose of coming out here tonight, is just to give you guys an update. Another part of House Bill 8 was the requirements. Now that school districts have a release time policy, you all have one, we've been following it. But then there's also an opportunity, I think, for us to look at expanding. So we do the high school and the junior high, to look at, can we do this at the elementary level as well? So we've got volunteers from 7 different churches. We're affiliated, as I said, our main church is the First Church of the Nazarene in Mount Sterling, but we also partner closely with the 3CU church down in Newport. They help provide transportation as well for us. So, and that's all. any questions? Or do you guys get any feedback? Do you have any concerns or anything that, that we can address?
One thing I'll tell you real quick, Mr. Prozise, thanks for coming in. My daughter, as you know, has been attending, and I've heard a lot about the lunches. So yeah. I think if that gets out, you may have more than what you bargained for with some of the meals. It sounds like you guys have had.
I've had students come up and say, I'm only here for the food, right? So we've had Raising Cane's. However we can get them in the door, that's good. You know, I've seen a couple of the other girls that were here as well participating in it. So we've had good attendance. And if it is the food that's getting them there, my wife does most of the cooking. So most of the time it's home cooked meals. Be sure to pass that along with the food's a plus.
Thank you.
We appreciate the update. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, move to Section I, Department Reports.
And Mr. President, this evening we have Ms. Allen here to share with us a little bit about the food service update.
Asked me to speak with you today, and I'm excited to share some wonderful news. The Food Service Department has recently undergone an administrative review by the Office of Nutrition for the state of Ohio for the fiscal year. This review was a substantial undertaking requiring the preparation and submission of numerous documents, detailed questionnaires, phone consultations, countless emails, and ultimately an in-person review. The in-person review took place last week on February 12th, and I'm pleased to announce that we received a perfect review, meaning we had zero corrective actions. This is an exceptional achievement and reflects our commitment to compliance with state regulations. As you may know, the department's funding from the state is determined by the number of meals served, which is why these reviews are so important. They ensure that we are adhering to all guidelines and operating correctly. The next administrative review will take place in 5 years, but we are also currently undergoing a resource management review and a procurement review. They decided to give us all three at once, both of which are expected to be completed by May. So I am still working on those two reviews. I would like to extend a heartfelt thank you to the dedicated staff in the intermediate kitchen, specifically Laura Valerie, Deb Richards, Shelley Violet, Mary Wilson, and Joy Doty. And additionally, I want to express my sincere gratitude to Sarah Kirk in the central office for her invaluable assistance throughout this process. Her hard work and support were absolutely essential to our success, and I couldn't have done it without her. So I just want to make sure that I give a shout out for her, because she was much appreciated throughout this whole thing. She's been my right hand. So thank you for all your attention, and please join me in celebrating this achievement. Thank you again, Chad, for the Mr. Iser. I'm sorry. Thank you again for the recognition. I so appreciate it. Do you guys have any questions?
You told me, and I just want to be clear, 5 years, or well, 7 years ago now, apparently, when we went through this last time, how many corrective actions did we have?
Nine.
And there are zero this year?
Yes. All right.
Well done. Congratulations.
Thank you. So.
Great job.
Thank you.
Mr. President, in terms of department reports, that's all we have.
All right. Let's move to Superintendent Committee Reports, Section J.
Thank you. Two committees met since we have last met, the first of which is our Safety Committee. They met on Tuesday, February 4th. We are continuing to work on safety plans, especially with regard to reunification. Our next meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, March 4th, 2025. Our Policy Committee also met. They met on Thursday, February 13th. We have a policy and an administrative guideline or regulation before the board for first readings for both this evening. And then our Wellness Committee is scheduled to meet on Thursday, March 13th, and I'm looking at a DLT meeting as well in the early part of March. So, but in terms of committee reports, that's all I have.
Thank you. We'll move to Section K, Treasurer's Report.
Thank you, Mr. Mason. I have my regular monthly reports. Hopefully you've had a chance to review those. Nothing really out of the ordinary to report there. I will spend a little bit of time here just talking about the amounts and rates. We approve these from the county auditor each year. It's not required that we approve them at a board meeting, but I always present them because I think it's good information. The one thing of note, we saw some movement in our values. We're not in an update year or a revaluation year. We're in one of those years in between. So typically I forecast about 1% growth overall in the values there. And we saw, I'll just go through them real quick. Let me see if I can zoom in a little bit. That might help us. The values are over here on the left. You can see our residential values grew 10%. Our agricultural values decreased 1%. Reason being there is that's the solar farms that have come out of agricultural values and into commercial or residential. They're not taxed as part of agriculture now, so they're, or the CAUV. So you saw a decrease there. Typically, we don't see a decrease in ag values around here. But that's why it was a shift in the type of values there. And then the total residential agricultural values then went up 1%. And then we have that's the railroad infrastructure. I mean, very small amount here, but it went up 6%. Then the big one here is the public utility personal property. We had a large increase there of 35%. And so I had to do some investigation there to see what that was and some work with my advisory partners and then in communication with the county auditor. I believe it is the addition of some electrical infrastructure by the electric company in our district, like a substation, some towers, you know, things like that. So there's been some investment there, which increases that value. And it's good for us because that's taxed at the full rate, the public utility personal property. And for us, that results in, and I think it should result in around approximately $300,000 more a year for us because of that. So that's not $300,000 more that's coming from our residential and ag taxpayers. That's coming from the electric company. So that's good news for us. Overall, with that combined, we saw a 3% increase. So I had expected a 1%, so higher, but mainly due to that personal property right there. You see that we're on the 20 mil floor still, which is, you know, where we're collecting the minimum amount of millage that the state allows us to collect for operations. We are not able to collect less than that, so that 20 mil floor. And then our permanent improvement levy that's renewed every 5 years, it'll be up for renewal in 2028. That was a 2.5 mil voted levy that, based on being reduced over the years, is only collecting at 0.72 mils. So again, we're still the lowest effective millage in Madison County and all surrounding counties at 20.72 mils. So I sign off on this that we agree with the values and the rates as proposed and send that back to the county auditor. So does anybody have any questions on that?
The reduction in the agriculture, that negative 1%, so I guess do we see that in the, where do we see that makeup?
So that will actually come through in our pilot revenue, which doesn't show up on this sheet because the pilot payments are separate from the tax values and tax amounts that are proposed here. So in the end of March and early April, when we get that tax settlement sheet, we'll actually see that pilot payment in there. So that's the makeup and value that we get because it's, you know, if you know, pilot is, it's an acronym, it's payment in lieu of taxes.
Yep.
So these would have been the taxes and that is the payment in lieu of what would have ordinarily been here. So,
thank you.
Yep. Any other questions? Okay. So with my financial report and the tax rates and revenue, that's all I have for my report this evening.
Mr. President, I make the motion that upon recommendation of the Treasurer, the Board approve financial items K4 through K5.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Mr. Stonerock?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mead?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Move to section L, superintendent's report.
Thank you, Mr. President. Couple of items for discussion this evening. As was noted a little earlier in the meeting, we have had a couple of special meetings since our regular and organizational meeting in January. And at those two special meetings, we have had discussion about facilities options within the district. And at the most recent special meeting on February 12th, though no vote was taken, there was consensus among the board. The board directed Mr. Mustine and I to begin looking into what our next steps will be for building a new pre-K through 5 building and a new 9-12 building that would essentially be housed under one roof. So we have reached out to the Ohio Facilities Construction Commission, the OFCC, and notified them of the district's intent to build. So we are awaiting feedback from them in terms of what they would like our next steps to be. So once we have that, we will get started and keep the board updated. We have also reached out to Mr. Patrick King at Stiefel regarding next steps. Stiefel assists school districts when they are working on bond issues and raising money for building projects. So we have reached out to Stiefel to get guidance from them, and then have reached out to legal counsel as well with regard to what next steps should be. So these are things that are in the works, and as we head over the course of the coming weeks, we will keep the board updated and let you know where we stand and what is next. That's where we are right now. The only other item I have for discussion tonight for my superintendent's report is simply the tolls report. You have that attached to your board packet in the board portal. But beyond that, with regard to discussion items, I don't have anything else.
I just have one thing, Mr. Eisler. One thing that I know you guys and Todd were going to start checking on was just what the going down the path of what type of funding we're even, you know, what's even applicable for our situation, what we can apply for. Is that part of the process that we're heading down as well with different institutions on?
It is. And Mr. Mustine is actually, that was part of the conversation with Mr. King at Stiefel. And I'm not a big numbers guy, so I'll let Mr. Mustine handle the numbers part of this. So, Mr. Mustine?
Yeah, so we did have a conversation there. I think I told you it was going to be at 9 a.m. the next morning, and that happened. Had that discussion. Presented him with the board's intent on what they would like to proceed with and the amount of funding that would be required to raise our local share. And early indications from him is they had full confidence that we would be able to obtain that amount. And speaking to him about the process, the action that will eventually come before the board will be a resolution to approve an amount not to exceed a certain amount. And so that will then actually start the process of the certificate of participation issuance for the amount required that we need. After that, it's about according to him, it's about a 16-week process to actually secure the funding. We have to go through a process where we are rated as though we were selling bonds. So Moody's in Chicago likely have to go and present our financials and what we are requesting and get rated. He seemed to say we would likely have an A rating based on our financials and shouldn't have any problem selling that instrument. But it still requires some work to go and actually do that. Mr. Eisler and I are new at this. We'll be kind of led along the way during this process and do whatever's required, but it could require some extra work and potentially some out-of-state travel for us to go and secure that. Which is not unusual. That's the regular occurrence. Most superintendents and treasurers only get or have to do that once in their career. You're not typically going and seeking $40 or $50 million multiple times during your career. So,
one thing that I just would want to mention for anyone listening is that when Mr. Mustine mentioned that about the board reaching some consensus on all that was reached was that I think of the options that were available, if the board elected to move forward, there was an option that was favorable. And that's what, before we went even much further, I think we wanted to understand, could we even be approved for an amount of that project, right? So for anybody who hasn't followed for the last 2 years or even the last couple special meetings, I want to make sure that everybody understood that. And I'm curious, Mr. Mason, what our next steps from a board standpoint are. We talked about getting a letter out to the community and how that works.
I'm glad you brought that up. The timing is important because obviously right now we've had broad discussions as far as where we're at consensus-wise, what we want to do, but we're not committed to anything at this point. I think that's whenever that moment comes as far as the actual board vote, I want to get that letter out obviously before that to give the members of the public the ability to come and speak to us before the vote happens. So the more you can kind of give us insight into when the moment of the vote that is going to be the vote that will, lock us in, for lack of a better word.
So the resolution for an amount not to exceed doesn't tie us to a particular project, just ties us to generating or securing those funds. What's going to be important and what we don't know right now is the OFCC's agreement that needs to be revised. So that's where Mr. Eisler's reached out to the OFCC to let them know of the board's intent to change the scope of the project to be a PK5 and 912 under one roof, as opposed to a K8 segment, which is what we were pursuing last and what our current agreement encompasses with the OFCC. So once we know that and we have the definitive local share required for that PK5 912 project from them, and that they are actually willing to be a part of that project, then we will have some resolutions to come before the board to change that scope and enter into that new master agreement with the OFCC.
So, well, there may be some other big moments, that securing moment. If you could give us a heads up when we're getting close to that, I'd like to have a special meeting at that point, and we can hash out what we want to put in the letter. I want that to be from all of us. I don't have a problem writing it, but I want to do it as a group. The only way we can do that is in a public meeting, so we'll do it that way, if everybody's fine with that. So we'll just rely on you to tell us when we're about ready for the moment of having that meeting, and we'll do a special meeting before that to figure out what to put in there.
As we hear from the OFCC, we'll let you know.
One thing that I know this isn't a board work session right now, but one thing I'm curious about is, even if First of all, kind of a two-part question. One, do we have any idea how long it's going to take the OFC to get back to us on changing the scope of the project based on your experience with them?
Just based on our history, they've been pretty responsive. What we're limited to with them is the amount of time it takes to get the agreement before their board to be voted on. So they have a monthly schedule, just like we do. So depending on when we get that approved and when they get it to their board would actually determine when we get the first resolutions, to hear for us to vote on. So we are a little bit at their mercy with wanting them to still be a partner.
One thing maybe just for all of us to be thinking about is that in the event that the OFCC would not change that, mm-hmm. right, then at that point you're looking at, even if you thought a K5 912 was kind of the consensus, if you're talking about losing, I don't know if it was $5, $6, $7 million in shared funding, whatever the 15% was on that project, then it kind of puts you back to where you're looking at potentially a K8. So
potentially, yes, we would want to look, re-examine, okay. Regroup.
All right, thanks.
We're trying to keep up with everything and do things, as expeditiously as possible, but we are kind of also not wanting to put the cart in front of the horse, so to speak. So we need to make sure that we do things in that order. But we're trying to set the pieces in place so that when we get those approvals, we can move quickly.
All right, one last question. The question would be for Mr. Mason is, if we know that the board is very interested in pursuing, additional conversation and with the public one more time on a facility, and the board mentioned at the last, I think, special meeting, we like the K5 912 option. If we were going to move forward, that was the more preferable based on fiscal cliffs, and when we would have to go for additional operating expenses. it seems to me that regardless of, with us having the A-plus rating, or not having, but with likely expected to have, or, A-minus, with us expected to have an A rating and not have an issue securing that funding, is there any downside to us working to put together the letter and say that that's our, I mean, at the end of the day, it's less about whether it's K-8 or K-5, not, you know, or K-5, 9-12. It's more about, I think, the money, correct? Yeah. So at the end of the day, we have all said we're comfortable with a certain, we're comfortable discussing and potentially voting on a certain size project to get roughly half of our students out of modulars, if that's the direction the board chooses to go. Is there any reason, just thinking about, like, if we're waiting on OFCC to have their board, you know, this could kind of drag out, is it, and if we need to wait, that's fine, but is it necessary to truly wait to get the letter and set up the meeting for, since we're really talking about the dollar value, not necessarily which grades?
Yeah, I mean, part of what I was hoping for in that letter is to lay out, if we approve whatever we're going to approve, the fiscal cliff will hit at X time. If there's some unknown variables there, we maybe can't be as specific. I don't have any problem if everybody's on board doing the meeting with just going in good faith where we think it's going to be. I mean, in general, I think we want to get the public's input on just doing it the way we're doing it, and then make sure that they're aware of the impact of whatever we're voting on. That's what I'm hoping to accomplish by the letter. So would you guys like to do it sooner before we have all the numbers?
To Jared's point, I don't think any of us want to drag this out any longer than what it needs to. So, you know, I think we can put out an idea of what we're looking at, you know, with asterisks beside that it may not, with the OFCC, it may not happen to this exact scope, but this is what we're looking at. This is the money we're looking to spend. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, personally.
If we're able to hear from the OFCC relatively quickly, and they're pretty responsive, at least on what we can expect for a timeline, can we maybe report back and let you know whether the OFCC says it's going to be, you know, 3 weeks until we meet in a month, or if it's going to be 8 weeks and we won't be able to get it, you know, around to it until May? You know, that'll maybe help guide that decision on whether or not we wait to issue a mailing to the community, just so that it can be as accurate as possible. I understand the board's willingness to move fast, and we're trying to keep up. But if the OFCC comes back and says, yeah, you know, no problem, you know, we can have this to our board here in 6 weeks, you know, then I think maybe we can put something out without the asterisks, maybe. You know what I mean? And I don't want to have to send out another. I wouldn't want you to have to send out another mailer clarifying a statement that's changed, you know, based on what the OFCC does.
We can set a special meeting at any point. You know, we just have to give a few days' notice, which mm-hmm. isn't a problem. Would you guys be comfortable with, let's give them maybe 2 weeks to get some more information?
I think that's more than enough time to at least hear back from the OFCC and report back to you, at least through a one-way communication from the superintendent to you all, and let you know that, you know, that we've heard back from the OFCC.
And if you're comfortable, board, I'll just ask that we call a special board meeting at that point. If it's looking like we still need more information, then maybe we just wait till the March meeting and see where we're at.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good compromise between wanting to send something out right now and waiting 8 weeks to do something. You know, I think give us a week or two to hear back from the OFCC, let us report back to you, and then we can get a good comprehensive mailer out that fully reflects what we're doing.
We also don't want to create confusion.
Correct.
If we get information out there and then 2 weeks later we end up changing.
Yeah, and I respect everyone that just said something. My only point was, you know, really just that we're really just putting something out there and saying we want you to come in 30 days and speak with us, mm-hmm. right? So I understand your point. I'm also on board with everybody about waiting 2 weeks. And it's not that I think the board, or I can't speak for the whole board, but I know for me it's not about just moving fast. It's about not getting, you know, this paralysis by analysis. And, you know, there's a lot of people that feel that we've been kind of dragging this issue down the road for 2 or 3 years now with bond issues and levy attempts. And so I think there's just some willingness to get the information, get people in here sooner rather than later. So,
yeah, I agree. We've dragged it down the road, but not really because that's what we wanted to do. So we've had this licked a long time ago if it was up to us.
So if we're making progress, we'll have a meeting before the March meeting. I'll work with the superintendent to call a special board meeting. if we're not making the progress, we'll kind of have this discussion in March and, you know, kind of push for answers at that point. So, cool.
Does that work for everyone?
So I wanted to say something. See the tolls report on there. I should have said this during the board work session, but I had the privilege of being on the tolls board for 5 years, and a lot of that time I was on there with Tom Ireland, who was the representative from Dublin. Very good man. I learned he passed away recently, and I just wanted to mention him, say how much we appreciate him, and praying for his wife and his daughters. So, good man. So, all right, so now we'll move to Section M, Policy and Governance.
Mr. President, one policy before the board this evening, policy IGBA. That the recommendations there are related to these model special education policies. That is something that is required of us through Ohio Revised Code. So that is there, and then the other item that is there, as mentioned before, is the first reading of an administrative guideline with regard to calamity day contingency plans. So those are the items before the board this evening for policy.
Mr. President, upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the first reading of the following board policies, items M2 and M3.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Stoneron?
Yes.
Mr. Meade?
Yes.
Ms. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Move to Section N, Business.
A number of business items, or a few business items before the board this evening. One is the annual approval of our junior high trip to Washington, D.C. We've got a couple of trips there for our wrestling team as they get into postseason action and have to do some significant travel. And then the final item in the business section this evening is the annual authorization for membership in the Ohio High School Athletic Association for academic year 2025-2026.
Mr. President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve business items N2 through N5.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mr. Stonerock?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Meade?
Yes.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Move to Section O, Personnel.
And a few personnel items there. We've got we have some supplemental contracts before the board this evening for your consideration. And then, unfortunately, two resignations. I would like to thank both of the individuals who served our district. We do appreciate their time and efforts.
President, I make the motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve personnel items 02 to 04.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Stonerock?
Yes.
Mr. Meade?
Yes.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Move to Section Q, New Business.
To the best of my knowledge, there is no new business.
I will say, as far as student recognition next month, I saw that there was a lot of success with the girls' wrestling program. I believe also the middle school wrestling program may have won their league as well. If we could get them recognized, if they're able to, I think it'd be a good thing. Pretty sure they won the OHC girls' team won the varsity championship.
They've got their postseason too going on. You might want to wait.
Oh, and the potentially the bowling team as well. I know they qualified for the district, and they're doing that, I believe, tonight maybe as well. So just make sure we get all our winter sport success recognized if we could. All right, so now move to the second public communication session. I believe anyone signed up. All right. So now I move that we enter into executive session at 7:49 p.m. for the purpose of the following items allowed under Ohio Revised Code 121.22G, Section 1, to consider the employment, dismissal, or compensation of a public employee or official, or the investigation of charges or complaints against a public employee, official, licensee, or regulated individual. Section 4, preparing for, conducting, or reviewing negotiations or bargaining session with public employees. And Section 5, matters required to be kept confidential by federal law or rules or state statute.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Stonecroft?
Yes.
Mr. Meade?
Yes.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. We're in executive session.
The next regular meeting will be here in the high school library on Tuesday, March 18th, 2025 at 7 p.m. unless we call a special meeting before then. No action will be taken after the executive session.